Hello. Thank you for finding your way to this piece of listening theatre. It's very easy to do. All you need to do is go and sit on a bench on the North Highcombe Village Green, somewhere you can see the Beck on a quiet day. You'll need a copy of this recording, something to play it through, and a notebook or piece of paper and a pen. You won't need that until the end, though. You can put it down next to you. You're going to hear a story in a second. A collage of stories, really. All of them retellings of real people that I met in North Highcombe in the month of May 2015. This retelling is called Your Home From Here. It's written and performed by Hannah Nicklin, with music from Daniel J. Harvey, and was a Ridges and Furrows commission by the NK Arts Partnership. I will give you gentle instructions, which you can choose to follow. You will know when it's an instruction because it will come in your left ear. But don't worry, you won't be able to do anything wrong. Listen how you want. So if you're ready, if you're sat on a quiet day, on a bench, on the village green, make sure the volume is at the right level. Settle in. Put the MP3 player in a pocket or bag. And take a deep breath. Breathe out. Look around the green. 180 million years ago, limestone laid under hot Jurassic seas. Breathe in. Keep breathing. 20,000 years ago, the last ice age, the moment glaciers heavy and fire cold shape the Witham Plain, a clay veil with limestone cliffs and hills. Look up at the sky, Lincolnshire sky. Surveyors arrive in a new land to build a road, carefully correcting their straight line. Viking pronunciation shifts hetch to hike. Lower your gaze towards the water. The path of the Witham changes over time, the tarring of the Foss Way. And now at your feet. The ground under your soles, laid under the grass, is earth marked, crofts laid out in strips of furrows and ridge, ox ploughed for planting and drainage, always at right angles to water. Look up. Welcome to North Highcombe, population 14,719. A settlement became a village got larger, that village became a town, this town, divided by roads, growing housing estates, a place people pass through in the shadow of Lincoln. But not everyone passes through. Some people pass their whole lives here. Others come to raise families or to settle. A town of 14,719 people quietly living their lives. A small village became large. A large village became a town. This town gave itself a motto, always listen to the other side. Over by the beck, a bird dips its beak into the water, shivers it down its back. Can you spot it? If you can't, imagine it. North Highcombe is an in-between place, eternally wrapped in the silhouette of the cathedral, split by roads still with traffic. The laughter of children peppers the air, families climb sleepily into Sunday mornings, harrowed by the week gone. The bird hops suddenly to one side. The town crest should include a walking stick, goes the joke. The joke goes that North Highcombe is a town for old folks, so many bungalows, people retiring on the sales of smaller homes in the south. Hop. The population of the town has meandered. Once young men and women worked at the Malleables gravel pit and on the land, now it's families looking for a good school and a bit of garden, a town that never quite grew a high street. Sometimes the only gathering that happens here is the barbecue smoke that drifts and intertwines above fence posts on summer evenings. It spreads its wings. The wealth of bungalows brings an older generation, people whose lives brim over their laughter. Bowls clubs, church activities, checking out library books, a town of people in an age of youth and inexperience, increasingly invisible. The bird takes flight. Look for it. One day you will look in the mirror and the smiles that you gave will be face furrowed. The memories that you made will lay so thick in your eyes they will pale. Always listen to the other side. Barry is in the pub. He goes there for some company. He sits with George, and with now more than 3 pints, they remember times gone. Stumblings out of the Harrows, men that were friends, men long gone, they laugh together. Hoot about men that took the beery slip into the dyke at the dark of a ropey walk home, dragged up by their collars, pulled home by berating wives. A beat of brown wings, a turn in the airstream. The bird lights upon a back garden that edges against a complex the council workers call sheltered housing. There is a man sat on a bench. He wears a woman's fur coat. Unkind jokes suggest that he sleeps in it, and he doesn't quite have the hearing to hear or the words to say how it's not that strange. He just likes to sit in it from time to time. More time than not, though, it would have to be said. It's not that it smells like her. That's long gone. But the touch of it. The touch of it is the burr she would leave in the air, like the edge of light encircling the moon. The touch of the fur is like she's not that long gone. A car horn, and the bird flits on. The car that beat is stuck behind someone hesitating at their turning. An angry overtaking, and the sound of it from the pavement makes Marilyn stop in her tracks, takes her back to an old brick red Volvo. She remembers her husband creeping it along, and the air scented with oil and hospital and cloth nappies. That was the day she wished she could rebuild the world out of cotton wool. The short journey from Lincoln General in a haze of lost count days since her 2-pound baby was born. She has to stop for a moment, on the pavement, the feeling tingling her fingers. She remembers feeling for the first time that there are things so much more fragile than china, glass or silence to be broken. The bird shifts its wings against the turn of the wind, in search of a favourite spot. A place breadcrumbs amass. Fossway care home residents, the ones who can get about, sit by the grass. The warm sun lights Doreen's face and her eyelids are closed but nearly translucent. Lace details her light blue cardigan. Her fingers touch the precious metal at her neck, hot in the glare of summer. Doreen thinks of her 92 years. Of happiness and heartbreak, never too far apart. Two images alight on her mind and she is surprised. They come as clear as they ever did, but not always in order these days, not always with the right labels attached. But there he stands, her brother. 4 years old in his new school jumper, itch grey, natty, on an autumn day, standing at the top of the hill, calling for mother. She was able to grasp the word stroke at 10 years old, but her brother, 4, not him. Mother had been there, and then she was gone. Taken by that gentle word. And her brother would stand there, waiting. Heartbreak and happiness. Happiness too, though. The second image, Saturday. Standing on Lincoln High Street in front of the shop, Jack's hand on her waist, light touch, kind and strong. From the moment his hand met her waist in the quick-stepped air of a summer dance, she had never let him go. She can see it now. The dress. Brown, but such a brown. A brown that would make her hair more golden and her eyes more blue. She had loved that dress. 33 years, and she could remember the feel of his hand in hers. 60 years, and seeing him laugh as they danced and the brown dress flew. The air catches a little in her chest, like she is out of breath from laughing. Her locket. Her and her Jack, hot in the sun. The bird takes flight again. Lincolnshire is a place of horizons, skies that seem taller somehow. Sometimes it is said that the people aren't friendly, but it's more of a case that their trust is hard won. Around here, the land is far and close, misty with the ghost of the sea. There's no place to hide here, nothing sweet about the mud, nor shelter from the scalping wind gusts grown over time and distance, piling over the wolds and the waters of the North Sea. A sharp gust of wind tumbles the bird off its path. A road or two over, swept through with bungalows, Mike is having a heart attack. His wife is thousands of miles away, and he remembers now that scared can be a mortal thing, a taste in the mouth. The paramedics shoot morphine into his veins and it is cold. He is cold from the inside out and thinks blithely, as minds will in moments like these, people do this for fun. A place where folk farm still, a place that looks unremarkable sometimes to outsiders because they don't know how the sky can fill the world. The bird swims in it. Emma tells Eunice at U3A about how her daughter got her name. They smile as they make trays of tea for the ballroom dancing lesson. Back then, she says, her husband was hundreds of miles away. Kashmir, beautiful. She found herself pregnant and so packed up, joined him. They planned for baby's arrival under thin mountain air. 7 months to go, and purchasing some red gold sari material, she suddenly remembers the quilt in the attic. A huge thing back home, built of layers with a name sewn into each one. A growing thing, a quilt with the name of all the family children. She said holding the material, she felt as if she could trace the line of the stitching of her name, like she did when she was little. It was then that she knew it needed to be a Lincolnshire baby. She said her husband packed up and they returned home. And that's why, Emma says, she picked a name that could be easily sewn. The bird soars over red brick houses. Once orchards, now divided into small plots. The laughter of a mother chasing her little boy around the garden. He shouts about monsters, and as she corners, her blonde hair, straight as a wind turbine, spins in the air. Florrie's daughter is crying. Not because she broke the frame, that can be mended, but because she's not sure her mother will be able to visit again. It's too much. Too much for her to manage these days. A proud certificate now bare against broken glass states that Florence Robinson swam 1 mile. Mum always liked to tell people how she taught herself to swim. Her voice loud so she can hear herself. I taught myself to swim when I was 9, and her hands would grasp. Nobody ever showed me how. I used to watch people, my brothers, fish in water, and I thought, well, I'm going to try. I saw my brothers and I thought, if you can do it, I can do it. And she did. Right in the Witham. Then this 28-year-old certificate, her mother then 70 and returning to swimming, teaching young girls how to do the backstroke at Yarborough. The certificate marks that her mother is invincible. Her mother is invincible. Each house we walk past, each car we drive by, each person we see, is full of lives lived. Florrie determinably plunges into cold water. The river changes its path. The cathedral sharp on the horizon. The bird alights upon a tree. Rosemary, Mike, Don, Gemma, Barry, Edward, in different years, at different times, are treading the earth that was. Ploughed by bike tracks, dog tail twitching in the tall grass, earth hard, air ice-breathed, blushy rain soaking solely into skin, baked, cracked, sun-shimmered air, earth that is now foundations. North Highcombe is a still place. the traffic loud and still, a place people retire to, a town children grow up in, a beginning of lives and the beginning of endings, flush with older ones. One day you will look in the mirror and you will follow the lines of the smiles that you gave, your face furrowed, laid in right angles to the river of life, lived, life lived. The memories that you made will lay so thick in your eyes that they will pale. The bird is nearly returned, just out of view. Look for it behind chimneys, or maybe it's hidden by a tree or two. A white egret. Rosemary swears she saw a white egret just then. By the beck, right by the beck, it was tall, thin, like a heron, but totally white, with a coal black beak. She realizes that she is reciting something in her head, a hymn. Drop thy still dews of quietness, till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty. She can never remember how it ends. A small brown bird lands where the egret stood. It is unremarkable. Until it sits by the beck exactly where the egret was. It is made astonishing in its being ordinary. Rosemary feels lucky. Lucky for the sky and the breath and the scent of grass and the little female blackbird the colour of mud. The ground under your feet, laid under the grass, is marked. Crofts laid out in strips of furrow and ridge. Ox ploughed for planting and drainage, always at right angles to water. This village became a town. This town gave itself a motto. Always listen to the other side. There's a bird in the sky. Can you see? This is the end of the patchwork of stories, retold from everything I collected from the people of North Highcombe. But there's a small thing left for you to do. I'd like to invite you to add your story to these, to start where I started with them, to think about what home is for you, places where you belong, a story of kindness or happiness, heartbreak or children, of landscapes that just by seeing them mean you're nearly there. Think about the things that have made you who you are, turning points you might think are ordinary but that have changed your life. It could just be a name, a husband or wife, a child, a pet, and how they came to be. This is the end of the patchwork of stories made from the many generously given to me in May 2015. But it's the beginning of whatever you decide to record in the notebook you brought with you. Or you can just sit and look. The next few moments are for you.